Well, thank you, Teen Choir. Good start. Turn to hymn 532, and let's stand and sing What a Savior. What a great old hymn, 532. Old Stamps Baxter song. Once I was straying, hymn 532. Everyone singing. Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within. He left the Father with all his graces, with calmness sweet and serene. Amen. And gave his lifeblood to make the valley. Thank God. This chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safe. I'll join the chorus in that great city and sing up there forever. Let's sing the chorus. Oh, what a Savior. Sing about him. Oh, hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nailed scarred. His side was
Brother Clayton Suggs, would you come to the platform, please, sir? We are glad that you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. It has been a fabulous week. I don't know when I've heard greater preaching, helpful preaching, sometimes hurtful preaching, but needed preaching. And I'm grateful for what God has done in lives and hearts this week. We're glad you're here. Brother Clayton Suggs is pastor of Bible Baptist Church over in Rendon, Texas, a dear friend of mine. I love him, and I'm so grateful for what God's doing through his ministry and through his life. Brother Suggs, would you ask God's blessing tonight on the service?
Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, I ask you, God, to step into this service, Lord, touch hearts. Lord, we pray that you forgive any sin that stands between us and you, Lord, that we might receive the word of God, Lord, unhindered. I pray for these men who are going to preach tonight, God, that you give them power and strength. God, help the conviction to fall on our hearts. Help us to respond like we ought to. We love you. In Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. You may be seated. Now, let me remind you one more time that we have available 2009 Youth Conference CD order forms. And if you have not received one, you need to receive one. We want to take just a moment at this time to pass them out. You can fill them out and turn them in to the offering plate tonight. Now, we'll wait about 2 weeks before we turn them in to have them professionally made. And then it'll be about 2 more weeks, a total of 1 month, before you get them. We'll mail them to you. So make sure your address is correct. So if you'd like one of these, or you say, I don't have money, I want some, but I don't have money with me, take your envelope, and you've got 2 weeks to get the money into the office. Now, don't wait for 2 weeks and mail it, or you're not going to get one. It'll be at the duplicators by then. So make sure we get them with the money in it. Our rule is very simple. Take an envelope, order your CDs, put the money for that amount of CDs in there. When we get the envelope with your money, you'll get the CDs. If we just get an envelope with nothing in it, guess what you get? All right. Anyone like an envelope, a CD envelope, raise your hand. We want to make sure that they're available to you. Get them at this time. I realize many of you have already gotten them. And if you can fill them out and put the money in tonight, if you're writing a check, make it to Trinity Baptist Church. Another reason we wait for 2 weeks is that gives us time for your check to clear. You say, we're Christians. Uh-huh. Yeah, you believe in eternal security. We don't have a problem with eternal security. We believe with all our heart. We have a problem with your flesh. Flesh. My grandson that graduated from college last year with his master's degree, when he was a little boy, he was pecking on the piano. And he was pecking some kind of chords to a rock song. His daddy came in, got on to him, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He dropped his head like you and said, "I don't know." "What made you do that?" And he looked up and said, "Daddy, it was Flash." Flash. Well, he had the reason right, just not the wording right. So beware of the flash, man. It takes place quick. All right. Also in the foyer, Brother Angel has a table with CDs and baked goods. Set, sermon series, and so forth. That's available out there. Please stop by there. And there is not a cookie out there. There's a few cream puffs that's been coming by wanting something, but not willing to give up. You've been thinking, I can get a Whopper with that if I don't buy that CD. And one would help your heart and spirit. The other would just make your belly big. I love hamburgers. How many like hamburgers? Let me tell you, every day, my wife, when I come home from work, she says, "Honey, what'd you have for lunch today?" And I used to say, well, and I'm not going to fib to her, hamburger. And oh, she'd say, "That's not good for you. You're going to die with clogged arteries. That's fattening." So one day it dawned on me. Tell her the truth in a different wording. "Bob, what'd you have for lunch today?" "Honey, I had a chopped steak and a salad with a little piece of bread." And you know, it was all right. It was all right. She was satisfied. But please stop by out there. And also, there's a table out there with a new book from written by Brother Clay Reed. And it's for young preachers and pastors and people interested in local churches and trends and so forth. It'll be helpful to you. and stop by and look at those if you will. All right, our ensemble is going to sing at this time.
Stand up and let's sing, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Everybody, got to get these kids down. Didn't they do a good job tonight? Good start. Thank you, Lord. Singing, thank you. It up. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for me. Mean it when you sing it now. Singing, thank you, and be seated. Ensemble.
When I look at the moon and the stars in the sky,
I can see the hand of the Father
in the valley so deep. And the river so wide,
I can see the hand of the Father. I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the
blowing in the wind. I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere I go,
everywhere I go, His presence surrounds me. I can see the hand, I can hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God. In the music of earth and the rustle of leaves,
I can hear the voice of the Father.
In the thundering rain and the whispering breeze,
I can hear the voice of the Father.
I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the voice
blowing in the winds. I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere I go,
His presence surrounds me. I can see the hand, I can hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God.
On a warm summer's day, when the sun's shining bright,
I can feel the touch of the Father.
So that falls on a cold winter's night,
I can feel the touch of the Father. I can see the hand.
When I look around me,
I can hear the voice
blowing in the winds. I can feel the mighty touch of the Father's love.
Everywhere I go,
His presence surrounds me. I can see the hand, I can hear the voice, I can feel the touch. See the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch. See the hand, hear the voice, I can feel the touch of God.
Thank you, ensemble. That was a blessing. Let me straighten out this broken microphone. You know, if he comes back to school this year, I'm going to flunk him. See, this is supposed to be straight from here to here. It's supposed to be straight like that, stiff, straight. And then this is supposed to bend over. And because he didn't have a message, no power. He took it out on my microphone, and he grabbed it and bent it and stuck it back, and I didn't let it slide either. And I still had it. It's still eating on me. I've gotten right four times over this. Got to do it again now. I sure have appreciated Brother J. Reed this week. Man, what great messages. Stupid humor. But great messages. It is exciting to watch God take a young man's life and begin to develop him and grow him and make him into the man God wants him to be. What young preachers don't realize is when they get out of Bible college and they go to work in a church or they take a church, that they're probably not going to run 200, 300, 1,000 in that first year. And the reason for it is that God is more interested in building his man so he can be used to help build God's people. And while I'm finishing this up, if you'll turn all cell phones off, that's the deaf group that did not hear Brother Todd's announcement a moment ago. If you'll turn it off, I heard it coming from right back over in here. Is it the girl with the red face? She didn't hear you. It's the lady sitting by the girl with the red face. I'm so glad that was you and not me. That's funny. That's fun. That's Brother Laster, the one that makes the announcement about cell phones. That's his wife. I wanted you to get in on the joke. Now, so you won't miss her, she's sitting right over here. Amen. But we've had the privilege of watching God grow Brother J. Reed. And we're so grateful for what God's doing in his life and with his life. And I want him to know, and I want you to know, how much I love him and what confidence I have in him as God continues to grow him and use him. Brother Reed, thank you for coming and being here this week. I know you hated to leave hot, balmy Elgin, Illinois, where it's hovering up there in the high 60s, to come down to beautiful, tropical Texas. But we thank you for doing so. Have you enjoyed Brother Reed? Let's stand and give him one last Texas welcome.
Thank you, preacher. Love you. All right, you can be seated. Judges chapter 16 in your Bibles. Judges chapter 16. I'm sorry, church people. I am down to one joke, and I'm not certain it's appropriate. That's just how the Lord is leading. Mom said, don't blame it on God. Mom said, don't blame it on her. Brother Smith was saying some nice things. I'm not certain who he was talking about. When he mentioned that God was developing me, something, 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 that I leaned over to Brother Todd and I said, yes, and my wife doesn't think he's developing me quickly enough. So she's helping out. It's good to have my wife here. She traveled here with me all the way from Elgin. It's fun to have four children in the car for 14 and a half, 15 hours. She's trying to save the church some money and stay away from air travel. And, you know, there are some preachers that need that kind of those kind of perks, but I think God can bless. And he's still out there selling baked goods. I don't get that. I mean, the economy's tough there in Bourbonus. And it's Oh, you look at it. It doesn't say bourbon. It says Bourbonus. That's where the bears go for summer camp. And it doesn't appear to help them much. Yeah, football. Brother Angel mentioned that we did have one professional baseball team. And we do have a City League football club as well, with a really snazzy stadium. But we did win the Super Bowl that one year, 1985. William the Refrigerator Perry, Mike Singletary. You can still remember all their names because they're the only team that ever did it. Or got reason. Actually, Rex Grossman and the gang got to the Super Bowl on some sort of fluke and got crushed down in Miami one year. But you didn't come to talk about sports. You wanted to hear the last in a series of jokes that I tell. And this one's really a blessing. It's a blessing to me, and I think it will be to you. There was a father and son that ran a pharmacy together. And the father had to step away from the pharmacy for an hour, and he was really nervous about leaving it in the care of his son. But when he returned, everything appeared to be in order, so he asked his son, "How'd it go, son?" He said, "Well, just fine, Dad." He said, "Do we have any customers?" He said, "Yes, we had one." I said, "Well, what was his ailment?" He said, "Well, he had a terrible cough." He said, "Well, what'd you give him?" He said, "I gave him a laxative." He said, "Son, you gave him what?" He said, "I gave him a laxative." He said, "Son, you know better than that. Don't give someone a laxative. I've taught you better than that. You'll give someone a laxative for a cough. That'll never work." He said, "Well, of course it's working. Look, he's scared to cough." This is the part where I don't make eye contact with my mother. Just keep looking over here, Jay. Just keep looking over here. Well, it has been my joy to be here this week. I love this ministry. I love your preacher. He is an inspiration to so many people across the country. And the human instrument used by God to be a blessing to so many preachers. So many ministries have had their starting point, their birth, if you will, under the ministry of Dr. Bob Smith, including the ministry I'm a part of in Northwest Bible Baptist Church. God has done some wonderful things in Elgin, Illinois, but none of that would have happened had it not been for the earthly ministry and the faithfulness of Pastor Bob Smith. And human nature is such that we usually start appreciating things about 5 minutes after they're gone. Don't make that mistake. You appreciate your preacher while you have him. And you take good care of him. And I was listening to him preach today to teenagers. And teenagers are just a rough group to preach to. Because they're rebellious on one hand. They don't understand half of what you say on the other hand. It's a really bad combination. They're either sneering at you or giving you that quizzical look like, huh? But preaching to teenagers, and I've several occasions we've had him at our conferences and preaching to pastors, and just wherever God needs him, that's where he's always been. And I just appreciate his ministry. It's good when you're a young man to have more seasoned, I think that's how he put it, more seasoned. He has a lot of seasoning at this point in his life, but but to have more seasoned preachers that you can look to as examples. I was lamenting in a message that many of the people I've looked to for leadership over the years in my Christian life are no longer in Christian service. And for one reason or another, some very, very key people in my Christian development are no longer serving the Lord, either because they can't or because they won't. And it's good to have people that you can look at year after year after year after year, and your preacher is one of that. And I'm thankful for it. Thankful for my parents. They're both here. And you know, help my father as he kind of shuffles around these days. I was telling him, I was mentioning something about him shuffling around because he got his knees replaced. And my dad, he will be competitive until they nail his casket shut. And he's like, "Look, son, He said, I'm going to get through with this rehab, and I'll be catching up with you in just a few. You give me a couple more weeks. Dad, when is this going to stop being a contest, all right? You're nearly 70. I'm 36. I mean, when's that going to happen? But I appreciate my dad. Appreciate his testimony all these years. All these many years. Did you say something back there, Dad? God bless him, huh? You're starting to sound like Mom now. But it is a blessing to be here. Thank you for being here, youth pastors, for bringing your groups. And young people, please listen tonight. Two more messages for God to speak to your heart. I know that He's already done a work. And it's in that vein that I want to speak to you on this subject tonight, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Let's stand as we read Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. But the Philistines took him, and him, of course, is Samson, put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Snatching defeat, common theme in, among Cub fans, snatching defeat from the, and unfortunately among Cowboy fans, help us. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Our Heavenly Father, would you bless our time in the Word of God tonight? I pray, Spirit of God, that you would have free course in what is said here in the next few minutes. Fill me and speak to these folks that are assembled tonight by your power and through your word. And Father, I pray that you would energize Dr. Angels. He gets up in just a moment. Give him great power and unction and liberty. I pray that whatever message you've laid on his heart will absolutely penetrate the hardest of hearts. I pray that we'll see victories won in the lives of young people tonight. Father, in the lives of their parents as well. And Lord, I pray that we'd walk away from here knowing we've been in the presence of Almighty God. Meet with us in power and demonstration. And Lord, I pray that you would take away any distraction, any young person that would choose to be a distraction in this service. I pray that you would smote them, Father, their conscience there. And I pray that you would upset any plans. There would be absolutely no distractions tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The name Samson. The first thing you think of when you think the name Samson is strong. He was the strongest man in all of Scripture. It was said of him more than any other figure in all of Scripture, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was the child of promise to Manoah and his wife. He was raised in the strictest sect of the Jewish faith. Not only was he subject to the dietary and ceremonial laws of the Jews, he was also subject to the laws governing his Nazirite vow. He could not approach any dead body, not even his father or his mother. He could not drink or be around vineyards or the fruit of the vine. He could not get a haircut. And if he broke any of these laws, he was to shave his head and offer a sacrifice. He was an unbelievable gift from God. He possesses strength well beyond what any human could possibly achieve. He can kill lions without effort. He can kill 1,000 armed men with a bone. This guy is determined for greatness. The sky is the limit. There is no way to gauge what his potential is, but that is not how the story ends. Our hero winds up losing his great strength in the lap of a prostitute. His eyes are burned out and he is chained to grind like a common animal. He dies a suicidal death while being paraded naked and blind in front of his enemies. What a waste! Some might say, well, he killed all the people in the house, but do you honestly think that that was the way that God intended for it to go? Before he blew it, he could have killed everyone in that house without killing himself. He was the ultimate soldier designed by God to bring deliverance to the nation of Israel together with the armies of Israel. God could have delivered them from the Philistines forever, but instead, David, Saul, and Samuel would still be fighting Philistines 200 years later. How could defeat be snatched from the jaws of such apparent victory? How could someone with so much promise end so badly? Here's my concern, young person. You've made decisions and you will make decisions at this conference this week. But if you're not careful, those victories will be snatched away from you just a few days after you get home. You've made a decision to keep yourself pure. That decision is going to be tested. You've made a decision to restore and reconstitute the relationship with your parents and bring yourself into subjection to their authority. That decision will be tested in just a few days. You've made a decision to leave behind some friends that you know are weighting you down. That decision will be tested in just a few days. And that victory that you've felt so many times rising up from an altar this week, that victory that you'll feel tonight at the conclusion of the service, when you get up and you say, Lord, I'm ready to serve you, if you're not careful, that victory will be snatched up and snatched away like so many before you. This man had every opportunity. The Spirit of God, the Scripture says, came on him more than any other. He should have been the one. Out of all the judges, you look, and he is the most likely to bring total. I mean, you looked at Gideon. He's from the smallest tribe, and he's from the smallest family, the smallest tribe. And you look at Jephthah. Jephthah's the child of a harlot, and he's been out of town for a long time. And you look at Othniel and some of these people, and you look at the deliverance that God brought with them. And that is so unlikely. But with Samson, it's a total different picture. With Samson, you're looking and saying, he is the one. There's no way this is going to end badly. I mean, the guy can muster up enough strength to... Look, let me explain something to you. If you've got 1,000 men armed with armor, with weapons coming at you, and you're going to choose a weapon, more than likely it's not a bone. Let's see, we have the M4 rifle here. We have the M16A1 here. We have the AR-15 here. We have the AK-47 here. The Chinese-made SKS here. We have the 30mm minigun here. And over here, of course, we have the jawbone of the donkey. Look, I don't know if you've ever seen 1,000 people coming at one guy, but that's not good odds. And I don't think... Have you ever seen kung fu movies? Huh? Come on. You ever seen kung fu movies? They all come at one time in kung fu. You know the dude standing in the middle? And he's going back. And you know the dude sneaks up behind him? And it's like... And they're doing it, and everybody's coming at one time. Listen, when 1,000 guys come at one guy, they don't all come at one time. I mean, just like a pile. They landed on that dude, and he's sitting there with that bone, just whack, whack, bang. I mean, all the Batman sound effects are on the screen. He just crack, thwong. I mean, he is nailing them with a bone. Look, if anybody was ever bad to the bone, it was Samson. No, bad with my bone, all right? Man, the rest of the judges, look, you know, old Samuel going around on his staff, you're thinking, nah, I don't know how that's going to go. But Samson, I mean, could you have picked a greater warrior? Could you have picked a greater circumstance? Young person, I don't know if you were listening the other night when Brother Angel preached, as he began to catalog what God has given you. It just seems like, Brother Angel, that our young people should be so far ahead of those kids over in Romania with the rope. Remember those kids? We should be so far. We've given so, so very much. It just seems like victory ought to be the last in a successive group of steps leading from this incredible upbringing to this incredible church environment to this incredible school environment to youth conferences and camps. It just seems like it ought to be leading inexorably toward victory in your life. But if you're not careful, God will be shoved out of the equation. You'll begin to operate in the power of the flesh, and before long, that victory that you had will be snatched and replaced with defeat. How did it end so badly? Let's look in the life of Samson. Just a few points, young person. I'll get down. We'll let Dr. Angel get up here. How did it happen so badly? Number one, because he disregarded his parents. Because he disregarded his parents. His parents warned him about wrong relationship. Judges chapter 14 and verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Now what a way to talk to your folks. Then his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Listen to how he talks to his parent. No please, no what do you think, just total disregard for their advice. Just because he had great strength does not mean that he had good sense. And look at me, young person. You may be the best soul winner in the youth group. You may be the best dressed. You may be the one everybody looks at and says, oh my goodness, if anybody's going to serve God, that one's going to serve God and that one's going to make us proud. But if you don't have your relationship right with your mom and dad, you're not going anywhere. It is impossible for you to be right with your God and wrong with your parents. They are, listen, you did not pick your parents. God did. Well, I don't think my parents understand me. I think they probably understand you a lot better than you wish they did. They have found by watching you grow up that that Bible verse is true. The apple don't fall far from the tree. And they are seeing in you the same struggles that they have taken part in their life. And they are singularly equipped to help you deal with that if you'll shut up long enough to listen and let them help you. Your spiritual decisions that you make this week are going to crash and burn if you don't stay right with your mom and dad, period. Young people today, I have to be injected sometimes as I watch young people talk to their parents. It just floors me. I see young ladies smarting off to their mother. I can't imagine doing that. Not that I've ever been a young lady, but if I was. I mean, as a young man, 16 years old, I was frightened of my mother. She would grab a broom or whatever happened to be close. That woman's frightening. That hair will glow. Full power, Gala. Woo! But I've seen young men talking to their fathers. And here's what is so disconcerting, preacher. Is parents allowing that to go on? There is a reason God made you bigger. You'll figure that out? Well, I just can't make my kids. You can make them do anything you want to. And if you don't know how, swing by. I'll share some tips with you. You can laugh. It's okay. Nobody's going to call DCFS on me. I am sick to death of parents who act like they don't have a say in anything that goes on in the life of their child. You do have a say. They live in your house. If they don't want to live by your rules, kick them out. Well, they're 13. Well, they'll come back quick. I ran away once. I went and hid behind the air conditioner unit for a full hour until I ate all the Cheese Whiz in my bag. As soon as I bent that nozzle and it went, it's time to go back home, child. It was time. I've wandered far away. I got mad about something. Oh, that's it. I run away. I go hide behind the air conditioner unit. Well, I'm afraid if I come down hard on them, then I won't be their friend. Who cares if you're their friend? They got all kinds of friends. They need parents. Let me help you with something. I am obviously not the most experienced guy in the world when it comes to this, but this ain't my first rodeo either. If you will be your child's parent, ultimately you will be your child's friend. If you choose to be their friend, then they will grow up without parents, and odds are they're going to resent the fact that you didn't develop in the character or the character within them to be successful in this life, and you'll probably not be their friend later in life. I've seen it happen 100 times. And I'm sick to death of the cool parent. You know, the one that's always quoted, well, Jimmy's mom and dad let him. Well, look, number one, Jimmy's parents aren't mine. But if I could just get a hold of Jimmy's parents for a minute. Hey,
knucklehead. We're all in this together. It's called a unified front. Authorities used to line up behind each other, and it used to be if you're in trouble at school, you're in trouble at home, you're in trouble at church, you're in trouble, and we all used to line up in a big line, and kids used to realize at some point, I'm not getting out of this, and they'd fall in line. There's got to be a cool one in every group. The enabler. God help you if you let a church kid come to your house and misbehave and break the rules of their parents in here. God help your shriveled up soul. Amen. Listen to me, young person. You cannot stay right with God and be wrong with your parents. And I don't care. You know what? It's time some of you just got over it. Well, you don't understand what they did. I don't give a rip what they did. They fed you. They brought you into this world. They've given you a place to live. As far as I see it, you're on the owing end of the ledger, and you don't have a right to make demands. Amen. Sick to death of this society that gets a burr under their saddle about one bad decision. Hey, you make any bad decisions, slick? You ever have a bad day? You think your parents are beyond that? What you're going to do is take their bad day and their bad decision and rub it in their face time and time again, meanwhile wasting the parental influence that God has placed in your life, and you'll never succeed spiritually. Amen. Time to get right with our parents, young people, and you will lose the victories you have won this week if you lose your relationship with your parents. Amen. Number two, he would not govern his relationships. He would not govern his relationship. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters? This wasn't the first time he'd done this. Samson had some serious relationship problems that he refused to deal with. Judges chapter 16, then went Samson to Gaza and saw an harlot and went in unto her. And it came to pass afterward he loved a woman in the valley of Sorak whose name was Delilah. It just didn't seem to matter who he picked out. There were no scruples. There were no rules. There was no counsel sought. If she looked good, if she smelled good, that's where Samson went. And that great strength, that great power, that great blessing of God was squandered in the lap of a harlot. If she looked good and smelled good and flipped his switch, she was the one for him. No one could advise him. No one could change his mind. He never prayed about any of them. And his lack of discretion with women cost him dearly. None of his women were ever loyal to him. They all sold him out. And he knew they were doing it. This is the one that baffles me, preacher. Delilah says, hey, Samson, what's the secret of your strength? And he says, oh, I don't know. You know, knot my hair up and make it look knotty. So she knots up his hair in a knotty looking knot. Next thing, Samson, here come the Philistines. Flack. Well, I don't know. Bind me with new ropes. He wakes up, he's bound with new ropes. Every time he gave away his supposed secret to her, that's exactly what she did. And the bat, what was he thinking? What was he thinking? I'll tell you exactly what he was thinking. He was thinking the same thing Solomon was thinking when he started offering his children up to false gods. His many women changed his heart. Hey, young man of God, the sky's the limit. God's going to use you in a great way. Let me tell you, Delilah's out there. And it ain't like the guys are chasing the girls anymore. The girls are chasing the guys. You better make up your mind what you will and will not do, because the success of your ministry in the future is tied up in a knot where you say, I'm not going out with any chick that chases me. That means a girl that calls you on the phone. That means a girl who's pursuing you with text messages. That means a girl who's throwing herself in front of you with the kind of clothing to seduce you away. You better be careful, young man. Your future's in the balance. Losing man, young man after young man because of relationships. Hey, tell me what in the world a relationship makes sense, right? Look up here at me, right now. Why does a relationship make sense in junior high anyway? Where are you going with that? This ain't the farm. We don't get married at age 16 and 17 and 18 anymore. You're not going to get married till you graduate from college, or you're not going to graduate from college. That's what the statistics said. That means you're going to be 22 years old at least before you get married. That's what the statistics tell us. So let me ask you something. What are you doing at age 17? You mean for 5 years you're going to keep it on the up and up and keep it right? Come on, what you got flowing through your veins there, bub? Ice water? No, we're just going to talk about holy things for 5 years. My hind leg. Let me tell you where that's going. It's either A, you're going to have to break it up because you go too far. You going to like that? Look at me. Preacher, we got kids all over the place that are messed up emotionally because they get involved in relationships that they are not ready to deal with. They break it up and they are walking around almost suicidal. In some cases, they are. They are not ready to deal with the emotional strain that these relationships, and we think, you know, there's always a parent somewhere that thinks it's cute to play Cupid. Hey, Cupid is stupid. Amen. Let me tell you what's worse than breaking up, getting yourself in an emotional mess, not breaking yourself up, and getting yourself in a moral mess. Hey, look up at me right now. You can shoot that look at me if you want to, but go ahead and logic me out. What are you going to do for 5 years, young man? You're going to get married and throw away your college education? Hey, I don't know if anybody told you, but in the world we live in, you need a college education, period, spiritual or otherwise. I have had young men who had all the leadership potential in the world in my youth group, but they get involved in a little Sheila and they lose it all. They no longer care about being spiritual. They no longer care about being a leader. All they can care about is that little chick because they're not emotionally ready to deal with it, and they shoot their leadership in the foot and the youth group flounders because young men who've got leadership potential are wasting it on relationships that don't mean anything. How many of those high school relationships turn out? Tell me. Help me now. It's time we got a dose of common sense and quit playing this game with our kids and stretching their emotions and splatter them all over the highway. Amen. Man. Number three, he refused to play by the rules. He refused to play by the rules. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5. Then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards. He's a Nazarite, not a Nazarene. He didn't doubt his salvation or, you know, whatever, you know. That's what Nazarenes do, right? The Nazarite's got the hair. The Nazarene can't decide if they're saved or not. Amen. It's all right. You can laugh. Some of my best friends are Nazarenes or Nazarites. I can't remember. Do they have hair? Or... Shouldn't have been at that vineyard. Judges chapter 14 and verse 8. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of a lion. He's not supposed to touch a dead body. You know what you find here? You find a young man who thinks because he's strong he can play by another set of rules. Hey, I don't care if you're the best kid in the youth group. You better play by the rules. You start picking which rules you get to obey and which rules you don't have to because I'm strong and I'm a good Christian. Hey, presumption's still the sin of kings. David saw that woman on the housetop and it wasn't his wife, but he said, you know what, I can take care of that. He brought her to his house and she got pregnant. He said, I can take care of that. He brought her husband back and her husband wouldn't go in unto her because he had more character than the king of Israel. And David said, I can take care of that. And he gets him drunk and he still won't go in. David said, I can take care of that. You know, when you get in Psalm chapter 51, David says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Hey, young person, you look at me. You want to keep that spiritual decision? You play by the rules. You play by the dress rules of your school and your youth group. You play by the rules. When you start jotting outside the rules because you think you know what's important and what's not, you may just stumble into a big-time mess. Samson thought because he was strong, he didn't have to play by the rules everybody else played by. And it cost him. He was supposed to shave his head and offer a sacrifice as soon as he broke those rules, and he didn't. But he did. You know what they did to Samson, don't you? They shaved his head. He still didn't offer the sacrifice until he got between two pillars and offered himself as a sacrifice. You think you can put one over on God Almighty and not play by His rules? Let me tell you something. You will, ultimately. I'd rather do it voluntarily, to tell you the truth. He would not play by the rules. It'll be a great day in your life when you decide all the rules that are for you are for you. Amen. Number four, he used his gift his way. Judges chapter 14 and verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave the change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. Judges chapter 15 and verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done?" Blah, 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 blah. Read down there. And verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that he was burnt with fire, or that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson called on the Lord and said, "O Lord, remember, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." You know, every time Samson went to battle, it was because he was mad, or angry, or vengeful. Do you really think that that was God's plan? I never see him coordinating with the army of Israel. I never see him associating with anybody from his own people at all. He only gets in the fight when he gets mad. His gift was his, and nobody was going to tell him how to use it, and he was going to use it at his discretion and at his bidding, and that's the way he was going to use it. And let me tell you something, I see that in churches all the time. Listen to me, young man. God's going to put his hand on you and say, "I want to use you." But he may not use you in the way you think you ought to be used. I worked in a church in Louisiana. My wife and I both worked together and raked in a huge salary. We had talked to the pastor when I got there, and I told him that when we had our first child, my wife would go home. That would be it. She wouldn't work anymore, because the Bible says women are to be keepers at home, not in the home, at home. Amen. Let me say that over here. The Bible says that women are to be keepers at home, not in the home, at home. And I don't care what popular society says. We are dying. Our children are dying because people that are hearing their first words and watching their first steps aren't their parents. They're sitting in swings all day going back and forth with mom and dad to make money. Kids can live without money, but they can't live without mommy. Amen. Preacher came and said, "Well, when's she going to come back and teach?" I said, "I guess when the kids are grown." He said, "Well, she's an important teacher in our academy. We can't do without her. And Jay, I don't think you can do without her salary." And I said, "I thought you hired me full time." He said, "Well, we'll have to see what we can do." He went and saw the deacons. The deacons decided that if I cleaned the building as a janitor, in addition to the rest of my duties, I could keep her salary. There I was in South Louisiana, scrubbing under toilets. Cajun can hit anything with a bow and arrow and a gun, but they can't hit the bride's side of the barn in the bathroom. Amen. Stinking, burning, hot. Thinking, this is why I went to college. Hallelujah. My wife helped me, did the majority of the cleaning until she got so pregnant she couldn't bend down and clean things anymore. Amen. And she's with child, by the way. She hasn't put on weight. She's with child. Just before you ask. It's awkward to ask, right? Are you? You don't have to feel awkward. We are expecting our fifth child. Praise the Lord. That's enough, though. Amen. I'm running out of seats in the minivan. Hallelujah. I'm not keeping up with the other reads, I promise you. Some people look at Genesis and just get a little nutty. Anyhow. Takes five to thrive. Amen. Thank you, Brother Robertson. But you know what I thought, Brother Smith, as I was underneath the toilets and the urinal scrubbing all out of that and vacuuming carpet, I learned that it's not real important to God what my comfort level is. It's important to God what my character level is. And I learned that wherever God wants to use me is okay. The Church of the Living God suffers so much because Christians decide how they will use their gifts when the gifts should be brought. Hey, do you have graphics ability and talent? Do you know the church needs that? Do you have singing talent? Do you know the church needs that? Y'all remember that story that Dr. Lee Robertson used to tell about that concert pianist that was in his church. and she could play beautifully and amazing, amazing musical talent. And he said, wouldn't you mind playing for the church? And she said, oh no, I could never do that. Years passed, and he met that woman again, years and years later, playing at some church up in a holler in the mountains of Tennessee with her hands gnarled up with crippling arthritis, no longer able to play on stage anymore. You know why? Because her gift was for her to use her way. Listen to me, young person. When God touches you and says, I want to use you, you need to let Him use you any way that He wants to. And it may not be at the top, it may be at the bottom, but it's the service of the Lord, and I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You take whatever service God dishes out for you to take. Amen. Well, I just think Brother Davis ought to have me doing something more important. If it's in the church and it's making the church go forward and taking care of a need in the local church, it's for Jesus Christ. Amen. Last, he trusted the wrong people. Young people, look at me. You better be careful who you trust with your future. Over and over again in Scripture, it talks about people who give their heart to the wrong people. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are all, A-double-L, every one of the issues of life come out of that heart. You turn your heart over to the wrong person. You confide in the wrong person. You get advice from the wrong person. You talk to the wrong person. You get your marching orders from the wrong person, and you will crash and burn royally. And this victory that you have achieved this week, and maybe the victory you'll achieve later tonight, will be gone so quickly. Let me tell you something. The devil always has a Jonadab for you. Hey, look up in here, young man. Look up in here. The devil always has a Jonadab for you. You may get a crazy idea in your head. You need someone to tell you that's a crazy idea, not some sycophant to tell you, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, you're real smart. Oh, boy, we're going to have a lot of fun. You need someone to tell you when you're about to break your fool neck. He trusted the wrong person. And that man of God that the Spirit of God came on more than any other man in all of Scripture died naked, suicidal, in the midst of God's enemies. What a tragic waste. It didn't have to be that way. You take those decisions that you've made this week and you protect them for all your worth. You plant them deep in the soil of your heart and you let them grow and develop in your character and become part of the fabric of who you are. You look back at this week, not just when you made another decision that you threw in the ash heap from last year, but this week is the week when it all changed. This week is the week I charted a new direction in my life and I started following the Lord with my whole heart. You don't let victory be snatched away by the jaws of defeat. Don't let it happen, young person. And by the way, if it can happen to Samson, it can happen to you. Learn. Don't repeat the mistakes. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the young people. Touch them. Change them. Use them. Father, there's so much you want to accomplish in their lives. I pray that it would be so. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the manifold examples in Scripture that we can follow and learn and grow. Bless Brother Angel. Fill him with great power as he preaches in just a moment. Give him urgency, fervency, clarity of thought, and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Help us to be Holy Ghost-filled listeners. In Jesus' name.